Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. Hope you're all having a great day, getting ready for a great weekend, having some fun, frivolity, maybe with family and friends. Although I know some people just want to be left alone, want to chill, want to be by themselves, and that's cool too. I certainly understand, want some alone time. Whatever you're doing this weekend, I hope you have a great time doing it. I am very much looking forward to a weekend with my girls, chilling out, having a good time, and kind of getting away from it before we head into July. Some programming notes for next week. We won't be having Packers Daily Chats on Thursday or Friday, so I hope you get ready to get those questions in Monday through Wednesday of next week, and various other kind of things we'll have going on here on the YouTube channel, at the website. All about the Cheesehead TV brand heading into July 4th weekend. But as it is, hello to everybody already chiming in on the comment section. So good to see everybody. Before I dive into what I want to talk about today, which is Jeff Hafley and the standard of defense that we can expect under his purview in Green Bay, I want to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you all know the drill here. By this point, you understand. Ticket King's based in Wisconsin since 1992, located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, in the description of this video, or in our app. Whatever you do, however you want to get your Green Bay Packers tickets in 2024, make sure you utilize Ticket King, not StubHub or SeatGeek or any of these national brands. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. For all your Packers ticket needs, Ticket King is the way to go. So yeah, I did want to talk about Jeff Hafley, the fact that we are embarking on yet another defensive coordinator era in Titletown. And man, you look back across the great swath of decades here, even when the Packers have been winning lots of football games, essentially since Ron Wolf came on board and really changed everything on the football side of things and how they operate, from scouting to what they ask in the building as far as the program goes. Even in all that time, in all these games they've won, and you remember Mark Murphy touting how at one point a couple years ago they had won more games, certainly regular season games, than everybody except the Patriots, right? And they've won a ton of games. They've won two Super Bowls. They've done all this great stuff. But they've only ever kind of peaked at the right time on defense, won a championship, and then fallen back into mediocrity and sometimes worse, right? It has certainly been quarterback play and offensive football that has driven the Packers winning machine since the early 90s, right? Is it time? Can it finally be time for a team in Green Bay? Not, I don't even need them to be led by defense, but just to have a consistent defense, a championship level defense, week in and week out, may God forbid, year in and year out, set a program and a way of working and an emphasis on a consistent level on the defensive side of the ball, the likes of which we haven't seen. You know, I understand people talk about, and I think I saw someone in the comment section already talking about, well, they don't need to be the number one defense. No, you're right. They don't. Obviously, that's lovely. Helped the Packers in 96 when they won a Super Bowl. But no, I don't need them to be the number one defense. Hell, I don't even need them to be a top five defense. I need them to be consistently good. That's championship football. When you have a defense that you can count on, which is something you haven't been able to do in Green Bay in quite some time. And yes, every once in a while, whether it was 2010 towards the end and when they won the championship, or even 2014, after the bye week, they had a, I would say, championship-level defense. Even under Joe Barry, they had championship performances. Look no further than the playoff game against the 49ers in Lambeau a couple years ago. That's a championship level performance from that defense. But God knows, and I don't have to tell anyone on this chat, that has certainly been the outlier. It has never been the norm, at least in the modern era of Packers football. And look, I understand it's an offensive game. The rules are geared towards the offense, certainly geared towards success with your quarterback throwing the football. And the Packers have been smart to emphasize that. I'm not taking away from what they've done. However, I do think they could find a little more consistency on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm just hoping, I'm praying. I don't know what else I got, that Jeff Hafley can come in and possibly, because he's working with Brian Gutekunst and the way they have this youth movement of coaching guys up and letting them develop, maybe, possibly finding a higher standard on the defensive side of the ball. And look, for me, it really comes down to a pretty simple thing, and that's being situationally better across the board, whether that's third and long, whether that's red zone, whether that's certain short yardage situations. How many times have we gone over tape over the course of the week after a game, just in the last 3 years when Joe Barry was in town, where just head-scratching decisions have been made as far as matchups and what they're asking guys to do, who they're putting out there in certain situations. Like, if they can just get to a level where they make sense situationally as far as, like, hell, their personnel usage, they're already probably ahead of where they've been. But I think, yes, that with the combination of a bit more, I'm not going to say aggressive because it's the most cliche word in the English language when it comes to the game of football, but being on the front foot a bit more on defense, dictating a little bit more on defense, as you guys have heard me talk about time in and time out on this channel. If Hafley can bring that on a consistent basis to Titletown, then I think we got something cooking. Then you got a stew cooking. But we'll see. You got a long way to go. Obviously, camp's a few weeks away before they even start putting the pads on and trying to get all these disparate pieces put together into some kind of cohesive unit. I'm excited to watch it play out. Excited to watch these next few years play out with Hafley and see if we can finally find some kind of equilibrium on the defensive side of the ball that doesn't cause, you know, heartburn the moment you get down into a gotta have it situation and the Packers defense is on the field and everything in your bones as a Packers fan is saying, oh, there's no way they're going to stop here. I mean, I know you felt it at the end of that 49ers game. Don't tell me you didn't, because I know you did. I felt it. I think every Packers fan in the world felt it. Here they go. Going to let them march right down the field. And lo and behold, that's exactly what they did. Wouldn't it be nice to have a defense out there where it's the surprise when an opposing offense marches down the field, where success by an opposing offense is a little bit more unexpected? That's what I mean. I don't need a number one defense. I just need a respectable defense. I need a championship level defense. That's what I need in Green Bay. And hopefully Jeff Hafley is the one to install and instill and get the Packers on the right track finally. We'll see. Excited to watch it play out. More excited to chat with you fine folks. People lining up. Luke, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Man, is it training camp yet? Hashtag bring motel men to San Diego fund. Hey, look, you want to find a promoter that wants to bring Ben and I out to San Diego. We're more than happy to play the San Diego area. Absolutely. Joey, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Our young DBs this year really remind me of last year's young wide receivers. Had their ups and downs early in the season and then really came together at the end. Joey, I think that's the hope. I mean, I kind of asked Brian almost exactly that kind of question, right? As far as, sure seems like that's the plan, given what he did in the draft. And they already had a couple young guys on hand at the corner spot. Now to kind of bring in all the young safeties, let this group gel, grow together, and yes, live with some of those growing pains early in the year. Hopefully by the time they get, you know, back end of the season, halfway through, etc., you start to see them gel much like they did on offense last year. That's the dream, man. Absolutely. Mike, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Not putting a linebacker on a receiver is a good start. See, okay, I'm going to defend Joe Barry here. And I know some of you are in shock right now, but look, the clips of Preston Smith lined up out like in the slot quote unquote, on a receiver. I mean, he's not taking the receiver man on man. That's a certain call that you make in the huddle, and then the offense comes up the line of scrimmage and you spread out and like you take your spots depending on how the offense is set up. The damnation for Barry is not the fact that Preston was out there. Like, that's a call, right? You make the call and the guys go there. Okay, fine. The damning part is that they never had a check out of it. The fact that that happened week one in Minnesota a couple years ago, and then happened again against Davante Adams out in Vegas a year later, and both times got taken, you know, kind of advantage of. The fact that, like, in that whole time in between the two, there was never a moment where Barry or anyone on his staff, you know what? Maybe we should have a check for this. I mean, that is rudimentary in the modern game. You got to know, oh, well, this is a bad matchup here. Listen to Tom Brady talk about it. Tom talked about it on The Herd with Colin Cowherd a couple weeks ago as far as the quarterback's responsibility, getting to the line of scrimmage, metting out what's happening, and then trying to get them into something more advantageous. Well, that's what good defenses are able to do as well, especially if they have somebody out there with a really good football IQ and is able to kind of used to see great, great kind of cat and mouse chess matches between Rodgers and Brian Urlacher back in the day at that kind of thing, like at the line of scrimmage, trying to get them in and out of stuff to try and take advantage of the opponent. But man, under Barry, it was like, well, that's the call. Yikes. That's the damning part. Valzab, what's up? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you. I believe the player that will be unlocked in this defense is Quay Walker. Bukowski said he's not much better than McDuffie, which made me chuckle. Y'all just try and keep bringing Bukowski into my chat. I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me going. Like, look, he can have his opinions. He can be wrong as much as he wants. I think Quay Walker is set to become a really, really good football player. I think I'm with you. I think he is going to look worlds better in this scheme. And the fact that, you know, anyone would compare him and say he's no better or just slightly better than McDuffie is hilarious. No question. Nick, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Hope you're doing well, bud. It would be nice to have a third and long situations where I'm not expecting the opposing offense to pick it up. Random Packer, Hal Hint. Man, you are not lying about the third and long thing. I mean, how many times have we said, hell, on Watch Party, anytime they get in the third and long, the running joke is, well, the opponent, whoever that might be, has the Packers right where they want them. I mean, how many times have we seen third and 19 given up because the safeties are lined up like 30 yards downfield? Got to make sure you don't give up that shot play. Don't get me started. KS, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, I've been watching for a while and always enjoy the content. What was your favorite regular season game last year to watch? Also, Random Packers, Shaky Smithson, good call, Robert Francois. Those are two good ones who have not been utilized before. Well done there, KS. Last year's favorite regular season game. I like how you caveat that because that way you can't choose the Cowboys game, which I understand. Favorite regular season game. That's a good, good question. I got to admit, it kind of fluctuates between Kansas City and Detroit on Thanksgiving. I have probably watched those the most just because they're the most enjoyable, especially, and I know everyone, you know, remembers the big shot play at the start, the Detroit game to Watson and the way Watson really kind of came alive in that game. But the thing I love about that game is how active the defensive front was against a really good Lions offensive line playing in their home where they had the advantage. You know, there's no real noise to deal with. You've got the snap count at your disposal, and yet the Packers absolutely controlled the line of scrimmage against the Lions in that game. And to me, that's exciting because we all know we've watched the Lions really kind of control the Packers the last X number of games while Campbell's been in town. So hopefully that's the start of a kind of a changing of the guard in that regard. But yeah, those two I fluctuate between. I will say I love watching the fourth quarter of the Saints game. It's really frustrating to watch the rest of that game, though. But yeah, those are probably my two that I really, really enjoy the most. Joe, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. What about Halfley's defensive scheme might hopefully lead to better run defense? That's a great question, man. I mean, obviously, the idea of stopping the run on the way to the quarterback is a very different mindset in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where they are asking the guys, especially the front four, but even sometimes, depending on the call, the front seven, just get upfield and create havoc. And hopefully, by doing so, you're messing up blocking patterns, blocking schemes, etc. I got to see it. I mean, everybody's got a plan, right? Until they get taken advantage of by Kyle Shanahan to the tune of 200 yards on the ground. But yeah, I think that is going to be very different from the last couple defenses we've watched, whether under Barry, whether it was under Pettine, not trying to control gaps so much with your defensive line and instead just shooting gaps and trying to get upfield rather than absorbing that contact in the run game, trying to dish it out a little bit more and or just get in the backfield. Hopefully that produces results. And then being able to flow off of that, whether you're a linebacker or a safety, and really fill from the back end. That's the dream. We'll see if it's a reality. Craig, thanks for the super chat, man. Are you expecting a dramatic improvement with special teams this year? Craig, I got to admit, no, I'm not. I do think they will be slightly better simply because they've hopefully got a bunch of holdover talent, but they will still be one of, if not the youngest team in the NFL. They will undoubtedly be churning the roster at the back end, which is where you find most of your special teamers. I think it's going to continue to be inconsistent. And, you know, I know a lot of people point at Bisaccia, and he was brought in to fix the special teams. And at times it appears he has, and then things kind of just fall apart. But I do think part of that is somewhat a, kind of a residue of how the Packers have gone about their kind of youth movement. And that's not to completely excuse it. You still got to coach those players up, and they still got to be consistent, and they still have to execute. But I do think they're going to live with some of that when it comes to, okay, Bisaccia, you know, he's coaching them up and he's teaching these guys, but we're going to live with the growing pains just because it's kind of a byproduct of having the youth that they have. And yeah, you want to say like, well, if they're not right, then they got to get cut and move another guy in. Yeah, it's true, but you're probably just moving. It's not like you're taking a vet off the street in this program. That is just not how they're going to operate. But now they've seemingly, you know, brought in more than a few guys throughout the years, specifically because Bisaccia wanted them or gave them his stamp of approval. So you would hope at some point that might start paying off as far as, you know, glue guys who you can count on teams. But so far that has eluded them to be blunt. Steve, thanks for the super chat, man. Happy Friday, Nags and fellow cheeseheads. Nags, prefer cheesehead group activity, golf or bowling? Oh, sir. You must be new here. I am forever with Mark Twain. Golf is a good walk ruined. I am forever team bowling in this scenario. I love bowling. Bowling's fantastic. Golf just puts me to sleep, whether I'm watching it or playing it or doing anything even tangentially involved with it. Hey, and look, you asked. I don't try and rip on golf on my own. Like, you know, you enjoy golf, go enjoy golf. That's great. My feed in the summer, every summer, my Twitter feed is nothing but people tweeting about golf. It used to bug me. I used to get snippy about it. But now I'm like, you enjoy what you enjoy. I'm going to be over here watching soccer, which I know a lot of people think is boring, and they make fun of that, and that's fine. You enjoy your golf. I'm going to enjoy my soccer, you know, where people actually run, God forbid. I kid, kind of. Yeah, but Steve, bowling every time. Soda, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Mediocre day at work. Was looking forward to daily. Now dealing with 40 years of defensive PTSD. I need a drink. Hey. Here the G, brother. Right back at you. Soda, you should be happy. You literally inspired this topic. I was thinking about how many times on Happy Hour you've opined on this very subject as far as, you know, people like to say, oh, the Packers have been really successful. They've won all these games. But they have had mediocre, and that's being kind, mediocre defenses for much of that time. It's crazy. Like, every once in a while, they get a blip where, yeah, 2010, ooh, 96. Like, even 97's defense was good. But, like, more often than not, they've had long stretches of really disappointing defensive performances. So it's you, buddy. You're the one who brought it up. That's all I'm gonna almost say about that. You know I love you, Soder. I can't choose between golf and bowling. Like I, what did you say? Like I can't choose between which of my sons I love more. See, there you go. There's a positive one. They're both great. There you go. Fantastic. Brett, this is a random Brett Favre fact. People forget that in 2003, even with a broken thumb, Brett Favre led the NFL in TD passes with 32. Isn't it crazy that 32 led the league? It's a very different game. I mean, it helps when the entire stadium knows you're going to run the ball and you run the ball really effectively, and then all of a sudden that opens up the play action and you're able to find guys. But yes, they did serious work that year on offense, even with Favre and a broken thumb. Really wish I would have followed that kind of pattern and that idea when the other quarterback broke his thumb, but what a wasted opportunity. Such is life. All right, buddy. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. Hey, and before you go, I put this out on our Twitter, but I want to let everyone here know, once again, you can get 10% off on the official Packers yearbook. That's right. The official 2024 Green Bay Packers yearbook. It's being released in a couple weeks, but you can pre-order it now at PackersYearbook.com. There's a link in the description of this video. Use promo code CHTV for 10% off. That's promo code CHTV for 10% off. Do it, folks. You know you want to. I think we got a last second super chat here with Ed. With one exception, the Euro Cup refs have been letting everyone play. Please, dear God, let that continue. They've been exponentially better than the other refs here on this side of the world. That game last night, holy Toledo. But that's another chat for another day. Please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go Pack, go.